Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pitch Please. Cheers for that cough.
It's all right.
This is the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. Isn't that right? My lovely pitch, resident pitch goblin co-host Tom?
Pitch goblin? Am I pitch goblin
this
now?
Week? I think you've been pitch goblin before, I feel like.
Just pitch maestro. Pitch. I haven't had that one before.
Pitch maestro. All right.
Sure. I like that.
Son of a pitch.
Son of a pitch.
As always, we've got Chris.
Hello.
Dev Chris.
I'm Chris.
Brunch Club Chris.
Brunch Club developer and 2019's Forbes 1,000 under 1,000.
Fuck's
sake. Wait, 1,000
under 1,000. Yeah. That's accurate. Also, our regular, James.
Hello, I'm James. I'm Drink More Glurp developer. And that's
you always
it.
Have to think about that.
You can always trust him to stumble over his intro.
We could have cut that out, guys. Come on. Streamline.
And also, mate, we have a very, very special guest coming all the way from Sweden.
Xylus.
Rillian.
Oh. Xylus is here. Xylus is here, yes.
Rillian,
yeah, hi.
Hello.
I'm Rillian, YouTuber, streamer, Forbes 2009, 1 million under 1 million. Doing pretty good,
God.
I say. Yeah.
Shit, didn't know.
Yeah.
Wait, I was on that.
So, yeah. Continuing our run of like guest pitches, we've got a new one this week.
Yeah.
I guess Tom, how's your hole feeling this week? Is it a bit dry? Is there not much in there?
There's a lot less footfall than usual, it's gotta be said. Tourism is low in my pitch hole, but you know what? Yeah. It's given me time to redecorate, time to really look at
spring cleaning,
making the place look a lot nicer. Yeah, I'm spring cleaning my pitch hole at the moment. Yeah. I've got the bleach out.
Industrial
time to bleach
strength.
My pitch hole, I think.
All right, so Rillian, do you know how this works? Are you
yeah,
aware?
Yeah.
Have you listened to us before?
I've listened to a couple of episodes. I mostly remember the pilot, which is the one that set it all up, you know, so there's that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
you know,
yeah, okay. Ideas, talk so you about know, ideas, devs say what they think about the ideas, and then we spiral on wild tangents and see where we go.
He does know the format.
Okay, fair enough.
So, okay, first, I've always had the idea, like, oh, what would be my dream game, right? And then I realized that my dream game is basically Cyberpunk 2077, but in like the Shadowrun world. So,
okay.
You know, my pitch is, do you guys have like $5 million and 5 years? And you can make like a giant RPG with magic and tech? No? Okay.
We're making a sequel to Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, that's my
Cyberpunk
pitch.
2078.
Cyberpunk 2078. Yeah, sequel to that. That's my pitch.
Okay. All right. Well, there's your idea.
No.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Have a good time. Yeah. No, so I was thinking something else. And with VR being such a big thing and Half-Life Alyx just hitting, I think it's time to really take VR into the next level. And that level is...
Wow,
magic.
I feel like you're burning Gabe a bit there.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but we're gonna do magic, literally.
A gathering.
Okay.
Or
so I'm thinking, no, not the gathering.
Okay.
I'm thinking more like so the game is like called, I don't know, Sorcerer's Apprentice or something, Wizard's Apprentice,
we'll
you know,
see. We'll
something
see.
Like that. We'll work on a title as we go.
We'll work on that. Don't worry.
So we can develop story as we go as well, obviously. But the idea is that it's a VR game. with the advanced controllers with finger recognition and tracking and everything and so on. And you cast spells by moving your hands and saying certain things as well. There'd be like voice recognition and stuff as well.
Oh, okay.
So you'd have to like cast spells by saying, you know, magical formula, like Harry Potter, Expelliarmus, Accio, gun or whatever, you know, like things like that. And different okay. hand movements would cast different spells. So you'd have all the classic spells, like you'd have telekinesis, you'll have teleportation. I mean, teleportation is basically how you travel in VR anyway, as far as I understand. So
well, that's a spell name.
Yeah. You would like throw up a shield to block projectiles. You'd be able to like freeze time. You'd link your enemies together. You'd be able to like possess someone, like throw them around with magic.
Oh my god!
You would
okay.
be able to do. You'd be able to like freeze time and then like move yourself around like into like this Eye of Sauron thing where you like look around and see like more of the playing area than you do normally. Like
man, generally,
like
a lot
you'd
of
have,
time thinking
you'd
about.
Have, like
spells.
a lot of awesome cool spells, and the idea is like all of them are you cast by either in intricate hand motion, maybe not too intricate. Like the easier the spell, the more often you're going to cast it, the easier it needs to be done. I don't think you can like spend 20 minutes doing something super intricate and complex every time you want to cast heal or whatever, but something like that. And then you'd have like a cool adventure. You can make comedic, you can make it serious, you can, you know, whatever. And you have a long cool adventure where you're literally a magician and you cast spells with your hands and mouth.
So the first thing that came to mind is, so not to completely burst the bubble.
No, of course.
Great idea.
That's what I'm
Brilliant.
Here for.
I'm defending
my bubble from bursting.
Years ago,
that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
He's a shield. That's
Insomniac
role, normally.
Yeah. The guys who made Spider-Man, right? The PS4, the really great Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They put out a game called The Unspoken for Oculus, which is basically what you're saying, but it's almost like you know that period when VR first came out and it was basically just a shitload of games that were just tech demos.
Like,
look at how cool this thing is. So they did a spell casting one of those.
Okay.
Which was set in like, it was like modern day, I think.
Yeah, it was.
And it was almost felt like a little bit like Buffy the Vampire Slayer-ish. I don't know. It was just kind of weird. Like, I played a little
bit. Okay, now I want to play this game. Like, this sounds good.
So
yeah.
That's the thing, dueling, right?
It was barely a game.
It was,
like, yeah,
it was
yeah,
duels.
It was like wizard dueling.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. But yeah, but...
Do you remember it better than me, Chris?
Yeah. Probably. I played it like...
Well, you know what I mean? Like, can you... So what else...
So...
Like, how does it work exactly?
There are... The one thing I didn't like about it is it's very restricted on the movement. So you... So say you're in a back alleyway somewhere. There'll be someone about 30 metres away from you who's your enemy. And you can only ever teleport to certain nodes on the map. So you're restricted in how you move. It's not like you can't run around, hide behind things. You're always stuck and you have to move your hands around and put up a shield and move your hand another way and it will fire a fireball.
Mm.
It's very, very Doctor Strange, which I really like. I like the whole...
Yeah, Doctor Strange is sort of what I was thinking. This, Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, the type of movements they do all the time when they cast spells in general.
Yeah, so I think that is really good. I think there is... So I did a tech demo a couple of years ago because I was bored and I was in VR. And Windows 10 voice recognition for Unity had just sort of been implemented. So I did a Harry Potter style one where you had a wand.
Yeah.
And you had to say certain spells, and then the wand, and when you flick the wand, the spell would happen. So you had you had your Accios and your Expelliarmuses.
Yeah.
And your Alohomora, that worked really well because you had VR doors. But the issue there was obviously... with voice recognition is just because you have to type the word in and then it compares what you said against the word, and that doesn't work the majority of the time. So you have to you have to end up inputting the words wrong in the battle.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
It's exactly like that. You have to type the word phonetically. Like, it doesn't make any
sense. What I was going
to ask. The beauty of this would be, sorry, Tom, the beauty of this would be like you don't have to say real words, right? So you yourself can decide how the game would, like, so you don't have to specifically say something that the game's going to recognize as, he's trying to say intercontinental. No, you could just say something that sounds rough vowels in a certain way, you know, phonetically. So.
And agreeing with you on that, my idea was, if when you find spells, what if you had like a spell creator, so you can design the move you want to do for it, or say if it's a hard spell, it has to be a certain amount of movement and a certain amount of movement. Finger patterns, and then yeah. You want to do a spoken spell, you have to like combine phonetic
sounds
together.
You have X amount of like syllables that you put together like a puzzle thing.
And
yeah.
What if you just
craft your own spell book?
What if you just record the line yourself? You just say, I want this spell. This spell is called Flamjack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because game just remembers.
That would help get around. That would get, you get could around design a lot your of own spells. And like.
Okay, can I just. Like, if there was a spell creator in that way, and like if you were able to create your own spells, and like giving them, like actually recording your audio and then having to, you know, repeat that audio, and maybe then you can. Could you like? I can already see Chris's. We record it. We've got webcam up, but we're not putting that out. I can see his face.
Yeah.
To see whether he knows where this is going. But like, also, if you could do the like, if you could perform your own actions for it as well, I think very. I can see where that's going to go very quickly. But
well, that's
that
the thing.
Quite funny, right?
It's either you are, as you said, Sorcerer's Apprentice. Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Sorcerer's
right?
Apprentice. Sean Connery.
Yeah. Sorcerer's Apprentice. Sean Connery, Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah, okay, that's working title. Working title.
Oh my god, so, it's like Highlander.
It's Highlander.
Oh my god.
No, it's so either. Yes, it's. Yeah. I've got it done. It's Sean Connery's Sean and Sorcery.
Oh,
we have to just.
So
yeah,
it's
sure.
Either
why
you're
not throwing
a
sword
apprentice,
as well? Why yeah, not?
Where you are following a magician, right, a sorcerer who knows all these spells. He knows this entire catalogue of spells, and you're learning his spells until you become as good, if not better, than him.
Yeah, he dies halfway through, and then you have to figure out.
He dies first level.
Okay, first level. First level.
It's the Kobayashi Maru.
And then you're on your own, right? I mean, that depends on, again, how comedic you want to do it or how serious you want to do it. Like, if it's comedic, it doesn't really matter. You just do fun stuff for the story,
deadly
whatever.
Deadly serious.
Yeah, but if you do deadly serious, you could be like, the last possible man that can wield my power. You know, that sort of thing.
Sean Connery's The Last Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah,
I feel so. What I was
I like
laughing
as a story,
at.
Beat.
Can we
that,
get Sean Connery for this? Actually,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Fine.
He'll do anything these days.
Yeah, you should see the list of people we've got.
He did
for
leave
our
Extraordinary Gentleman, so we're fine.
James, what's your thought on this so far?
I mean, I really like the idea that if you're the sorcerer's apprentice and the sorcerer dies, that maybe you get left the journal with the spells in it, and you've got to sort of, maybe there's a crypto element to the game as well, where you've got to decipher these spells and do other spells to uncover. I don't know if it's changing the game into sort of an investigative type game.
No, I mean, sounds a little bit like feature creep, like another cool thing that people
go,
and then all of a sudden, like,
but that's what this podcast
the reason is, I just finished watching Gravity Falls, and it's got all of those the journals in there where they uncover all the ciphers and things. Mm. So I'm like, that sounds really cool. Combine that with the sort of Doctor Strange element of, you know, making the patterns in the air. I'm down.
Okay,
I'm well on board.
What if you have, like, maybe you start the game with, like, three spells, like Shield, Heal, Fireball, some really
basic
right?
You
just then you go into
magic
you go into battle.
And it sounds really lame, too. Pew! But yeah. So you always want to get a better projectile.
Because the command word,
yeah.
The command word isn't magic missile.
No,
the command word is magic missile!
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
You have to say it a certain way. So, so
you have to do it like Sean Connery.
The story in the beginning is always like, but Master, please, I really need to learn Fireball. Please, I can't go around saying magic missile.
And then he dies, right? But the way you learn spells is you go against other sorcerers, right? And they're casting these spells, and you just kind of have to watch them for a bit. Like, they're doing, like, pinky finger up. They're saying,
and then circle.
Schlep.
Yeah. So
and,
it's like an observational thing as well. Like,
yeah,
so
and you replicate
maybe there's
that
like
spell.
a bit of player skill and not just character skill, and like you figuring out something by watching and learning.
Yeah,
and how better
so
you are at moving the hands
so it's
quicker.
Just dance, but sorcerer edition. Is that?
So,
what
I mean,
we're
that's
saying?
Part
of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, Thomas has had an explosion.
I'm just thinking it's so cool just observing the enemy. Like, you've got like loads of opportunities to dodge their spells for a long time until you can finally think, okay, now's my time to stand up and try this spell on him.
Yeah.
The spell that he's using.
You've been like throwing magic missile at him and the game goes like, ha, that isn't going to touch me. You need to do something else. And then you have to like, oh man, what do I do? Well, he's casting fireballs at me and he's kind of moving his hands like this. What if I do? And then first time you fireball, you're going to feel like an awesome person.
thing is, there's always a chance that in the early game, right, you could accidentally cast
accidentally do
the
it,
end
yeah.
game.
That
well,
would
no,
be
end
like
game
New
spell.
Game Plus, you know, or cheats, you
a
know,
dragon.
Whatever. Yeah,
like, yeah.
Void
of a sudden, like,
dragon.
You spawn yeah. a hurricane. Yeah. What? Okay. What if, sorry, Alex, I know you had an idea, but I'm bursting with ideas right now. Wild magic is also in here too, like in D&D.
So there's a chance of something going wrong, like when you cast something.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Can you explain that concept?
So for those of you who don't know wild magic, the idea is that like the powers of magic are unpredictable and so on. So every now and then when you cast something, there's a chance something completely weird and different happens, you know?
Yeah, in D&D, you roll like a D100 and it lands on the table and something weird happens. Most of the time it's like
you summon potted plants around you, or it's bad stuff. Like you change your skin color to gray, or you know, a fireball lands on you, or whatever. Yeah. You summon a cow.
Are there
different allegiances? So you could be like you could do angelic magic. You could pray to like the Lord, or you could make a pact with a demon and get like demon magic and summon those kinds of spells.
I love this idea. It's very feature creepy, but I love it. Like the idea that you could take like different paths and stuff, and maybe like depending on which type of magic you use, the game will turn out to do. Now we're basically making three or four different games, but I love it. Like it's
no, but that's no, what
it
no.
doesn't matter.
Like,
feature creepy is what this podcast is about.
Yeah.
I don't know why we didn't call it feature creep. That's such a great name for a podcast.
But yeah, I mean, I think that sounds fantastic. But like, what I really love about the idea of this is that when like the games like The Unspoken that we're talking about came out a few years ago, it wasn't even that long ago, but VR was in its infancy, and that technology wasn't good enough at that point to make you feel like a wizard, you know, because you were holding the controllers and stuff. And now this is why I think with this game at least. The idea of having a wand or something, you shouldn't have any of that. It's just your
hands. It should be your hands,
fingers. But even finger tracking to an extent, like so, if you're actually pulling someone towards you, you have to perform.
You have to grab, do a grasping thing or whatever. You have to force choke. You have to do the choking motion or whatever. You know, like,
exactly. There can be wands and staffs and stuff, right?
I mean, maybe for specific spells, you know, like I found the wand of lightning bolt, and then you have a wand, and then you just and.
Or how about if you start off with the wand? That's when you're like
magic missile. Yeah,
you become,
and eventually like when your master dies, they break your wand and you're like left alone and it's like what do I do, and then you have to figure out how to do it on your own.
I love it so much.
Okay, that's a great story.
And he's like, apprentice, I've got one last spell to teach you, and he holds a hand out and then it gets chopped off.
And it's like, no. Master Connery.
Master Connery's apprentice.
Yeah,
you have to use his severed hand as a wand.
Oh my god!
Before you can do it,
that turned dark. But sure, okay.
When I was saying there's wands and stuff, I mean you can use those as like components for the spell. Like certain spells, you need a wand to draw a sigil in the air or something like that. Okay. So that's like another method to, you know, cast spells instead of just finger gestures or hand movements. There's also wand movements and also slam the staff into the ground. That's a way to cast spell.
I do like the idea that you could like paint on the ground like a pentagram or something to sort of protect yourself. So there's an
element of the hand movement
and the drawing and things like that.
A lot of the combat and exploration and stuff, you're just doing your basic stuff like, oh, I need to teleport over there, levitate, you know, oh, I should go over there, pull down rope. But then sometimes you come to a big giant room and it's like this big altar and stuff. And you have to like paint in a giant thing on the ground, draw patterns, bring things from over there, like a big complicated spell to eventually just like teleport you to a different realm or something. You and I like go ethereal and walk through a door or something.
That idea of like painting stuff on the ground and doing more complicated maneuvers with your hands and like spell casting as you increase it is like, because I don't know, have any of you guys played Half-Life Alyx yet?
Not yet, I've talked
about this before, but okay, so there are moments in Half-Life Alyx. One of the things that game does so well is the reloading aspect and the weapon management. You're holding your weapon and you can just use the thumbstick to switch between inventory, but to reload, you literally need to perform these actions of reloading. So you need to you need to like press the button to drop the clip out of your gun, you need to reach for another clip, you need to push it in, and you need to cock it. And that's just for the pistol.
Right.
With like, if you've got the shotgun, you have to like cock it back, like drop the bullets out, stick them back in again, snap it up, pull it back. And all that shit is happening while you've got a headcrab running towards you.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I don't know what you're starting to panic. And so like having that feeling of like, okay, what do I do? Do I wait here and like have the confidence to reload my gun, or do I just fucking run and grab a bin lid and chuck it at the thing? Or like, and so having those moments of like being confident enough to be like, okay, this thing is coming towards me, but I'm going to draw a pentagram on the floor and then rise my hands up and a demon will come from it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I really like that.
What if this is also a stealth game?
Yes. Well, I mean, you'd be a squishy little like wimpy dude. Like probably maybe you have a flashback early on and like all your friends is learning how to fight with sword and shield and you're trying and you just immediately drop your weapons and stuff, right?
Exactly.
And they're you're so weak, you're never gonna amount to anything.
Of a level
and then you can't do anything. So in open combat or whatever, like anything will kill you in like two punches or one punch if it's big enough.
That's the thing.
So you like, have you to hide and cast spells, you know. It's squishy wizard, like in D&D, you know?
Yeah, you start the level, you cast invisibility, and you've got full reign, or as much, well, without making as much noise as possible, ideally. But you, like, have the arena where there's just a load of enemies dotted around, maybe like a hideout sort of thing or something.
Yeah.
So
bandit
you can go around, walk around. You can't cast any vocal spells, because that will obviously draw people towards you. So that's your chance to draw like sigils
somatic
on the
only,
walls,
you know.
Yeah, somatic components only and material.
You don't want anything that glows because it's suddenly like, what the fuck's glowing in the top corner over there?
So maybe each spell has like certain, you know, tags or things like, oh, this spell makes light, this spell makes sound, this spell. So then when you get to a certain area, you just know that, okay, I can't use these spells. Also, you should have like an ability to like pull up a spell book or a note or something with your one hand, so you can quickly look in combat. See.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about these spells? Which one was working again? And then, that sort of thing.
But the notebook is empty at the start. You have to
fill it in yourself.
You have to learn spells
and so on. Yeah. Every time you've learned a new spell, you have an option to pull up the spell book and then like you make a writing. I mean, you don't have to write exactly because that's probably a little bit too hard. But you do like a writing motion and then you see the spell book fill up with information on the spell.
No, you have to write
actually. Write. Okay.
Yeah, I think you've got like a long parchment, right? And you pull it out.
He just writes, in VR.
Yeah, and you're like, I know what this spell does. I know that when I draw this onto the wall and someone walks into it, it explodes. But it made a noise, right? I should probably write that down.
Yeah.
It emitted light, right? Yeah, I should probably write that one down too. So you have all of the notes in the game are things that you've written for yourself. So if you can't just be like, oh, I didn't know the spell did that.
Because, no, that's on you. Like, you need to remember that. Write it down, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That gets complicated
that
if you're writing it yourself. But,
exactly.
You know, maybe that's hard mode. You know, you can decide from the beginning. Automatic spell book fill in or not, you know?
Iron Man mode, everything you have to do manually. also, your sorcerer dies two levels earlier.
You have much less spells you have to make through the next one.
Also, his accent is very thick. Yeah, it's Connery, like, so even in a tutorial, it's hard to understand.
Yeah, there's no subtitles.
Exactly.
You just have to understand on your own.
Allahumma.
Or there are subtitles, but they're Scottish subtitle. So there's full of OCH and AE and,
Have you ever told you my favorite Sean Connery joke?
No. It's a tennis.
Oh, fuck. All right, Rydian, you do it.
Well, it's ruined. Rydian, we know the punchline now.
Well, no, okay, I'll let you do it, Alex. Why not? Honestly, it's your joke. I just ruined it for you.
All right, no, okay, I'm not even going to put the setup was what time does Sean Connery go to Wimbledon?
Tennis.
At around tennis, yeah.
Yeah, great, yeah. All right, thanks. Cheers.
Nice.
But yeah, like, okay, so going back to the idea of like you being physically weak.
Yeah.
Do you think there should be, like, narratively, or, well, I guess this could translate mechanically as well, but there could be some kind of way that, like, maybe as you become more powerful with spellcasting, as you like, become, you're not the apprentice anymore, you become the master, like, throughout the game, as you improve, that has a direct impact on your physical abilities, like, is it, like, your physical movement, or maybe how much damage
you
take.
So you get stronger, or you get weaker?
You get weaker, because, like, your body is,
expending
like,
energy,
your physical
energy
body
into
degrades.
Magic.
Yeah, the more powerful of a wizard you become. Like, would that work? Or how would that work?
So you'd get weaker as you
Could
go. You'd start out with maybe like 150 HP. By the time of your last level, you're at like 60 or 50 or something.
I mean,
I don't know if that would work. You'd still be more powerful, I guess, because you'd have all the spells and stuff. You'd be able to cast shield and heal and so on. I don't know if would make you feel that much weaker. Maybe a cool flavor thing that like more of your body's going for it. But
it's a nice way to force a player to rely more on their spells, right? Like early game, you can make a few mistakes because you don't know many spells.
Yes. Yeah,
for late game, it's a way to implement difficulty, right? Without,
I suppose so, yeah.
Just adding more enemies or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that. I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
A lot.
Now, I have a question. Do you imagine this being set sort of in a medieval sort of setting, like in the past, or are we sort of in present day? But there's like a secret order of wizards. How did you imagine?
I mean, the problem I always had with stuff like Harry Potter or whatever is, why don't they just use a gun? Honestly, a gun would have solved that entire movie from beginning to the end. Because
so they
had to like come up with an example. Like, oh yeah, wizards ruin technology, I guess. So gun would probably misfire, and it's like, okay, that's kind of a whatever. So the problem is that like. A weak person in today's life could accomplish a lot of things if they had guns. So that would kind of ruin it if it was modern. So I see this as medieval fantasy, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Now, what if it wasn't a fantasy game and there was no magic and it's just a stealth VR game with a gun?
I mean, that's a different game that I still would play. That's not even at all the game I'm talking about.
I'm just spitballing.
So what you're saying is, so this Sorcerer's Apprentice, without the Sorcerer and without the apprenticeship, how's that sound? Yeah.
It's just called the gun.
It's just called stealth gun, yeah.
Wait, wasn't there a game that was literally just called Gun?
Yeah, there is, yeah. It's a Western game, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Of course,
It's stylized in all caps. G-U-N. You know?
So let's just have a recap of what this game currently is. It's called Gun. No, we're sticking with Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Sorcerer's Apprentice will present it.
So it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he has to be in the title for this one. I know we try not to do celebrity endorsements anymore.
But this is important.
But we're going to spend a lot of money on getting him in, and he's only going to be in the first 10 minutes because that's what we could afford.
So we're spending a couple of million. He's going to be there first 10 minutes, and we'll put his name on the game.
It's like Oblivion.
Basically, he's going to read the intro, and that's it. There's going to be a bit of intro text, and that's it.
Yeah.
No, he just reads the main menu.
V-Shink. Cripple buffering.
Oh my god, you could go in all to the like the super detailed graphic settings and read all of them.
Would you like to enable super sampling? No, I wouldn't want to. I do not want to enable super sampling.
Oh my god. That's amazing. Okay. I love the idea that they spent all that money thinking Sean Connery.
Wait. But I like what you guys have brought to the table here. Like, this is really the missing link, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, look, you need us, we need you.
Exactly. That's why we're meeting here in this Dragon's Den little situation. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe your pitch hole is a Dragon's Den.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Is there a bald man who shows?
That's my pitch hole. Dragon's Den.
Yeah. So there's an old grumpy woman in the corner.
I have a question. I don't understand what genre this game is. Is it an RPG?
Adventure game.
Is it an action adventure? Is it open world? Is it linear? Like, are we like? Because for a lot of the amount of the time, I thought we were a student at one point, and like we learned spells. Doing things and like, I don't know, we've got a big old cauldron and we have to physically stir.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine like that could be the beginning of the game if you want, like learning the basics and so on. That would be, I guess, a different game if you're doing like the Harry Potter experience of learning and going to class and so on. I'm thinking more adventure game, action adventure. And not to be the same as every other game, but how about we add some RPG elements, you know, or whatever? Because in the end, like spells is going to be around your physical skill and stuff, but I mean,
mana?
There could be stats like how good your strength in abjuration is will indicate how much damage your shield can absorb or whatever. How much your stats at evocation is how strong your fireball is and so on. But in general, the movements would be the same. So, I mean, I don't know. RPG action adventure, I suppose.
Does the player have
I would say linear, probably. Safest.
Do we have?
Can I just throw in another potential idea?
Absolutely.
You're saying RPG action adventure.
We're throwing in terms now.
When you
Jonas.
Said every game that I can think of, all the really really good ones. There's like, I mean, originally I was thinking Plague Tale: Innocence, Last of Us, all that kind of stuff, right? They all have God of War. They all have companion AI.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's not been done in a VR game before.
That's true. But I wonder, like, if that's not been done for a reason, or if we can't just go for it. Maybe we can. How would that work, though? Like, the entire idea, I think, to me, is that you are the companion in the beginning, and then your master gets killed, your wand gets broken, you're on your own,
yeah.
And then you're solo, on your own, weak as hell, fighting out.
You learn the clone spell.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes! You get cloned, and you have a version... Well, it wouldn't be much of a companion, but still, like, there would be, like, a version of... of you that you can do cool spells with, and like you can send your clone around and you can link spells with him.
He's a mirror clone. So the movements you make, he makes exactly the same movement. So you position him somewhere and you're like, right, we can double fireball this dude from different angles in the room.
You can like cast spells to shift places with him and stuff, and like you can cast like this chain of lightning between you, and you can pull it together, like, and so on.
Exactly.
And like, yeah.
Or maybe,
so that
maybe
could
like
also be used for like puzzle solving elements as well.
Yeah, but he only has magic through you, maybe, like, through something, yeah.
I think it should be the spell book. I think the spell book should come alive and be like, meh, 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 and
oh
start
my God.
Talking.
Yeah, talking spell book. Yeah, he'd be like the comedy relief, you know, like that's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
why'd you get throwing dicks in me?
And he just spits out
maybe
pages.
Maybe you have like a familiar. Like, the familiar is, I mean, either your spell book or just a little imp or something flying around, you know, something, a little familiar. If you feel like you need that, that's more if it's comedic, I think. If you want to go more serious, I think you should be solo in the beginning.
You can have a bit of both. Yeah. I mean, Chris, as someone who has actually developed...
No, stop. Before you ask
games,
this, is there mana? Yes. I've asked this 3 times and Tom has been laughing the entire time every time I've asked.
He keeps getting interrupted. Okay, to answer that question, I don't think there should be mana.
Right, okay.
Or mana. Mana? Mana.
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 Mana. Mana.
Mana. Mana. Mana. Mana.
Mana. Mana.
Because I think if you were to... If it takes a long time to cast big spells... I think that is the limiting factor, right? If you then can't cast because of mega mana or mega low mana or anything like that, then it's kind of like, okay. I mean, I think the limit should be the cost of it and time cost of it rather than just
cool
a
downs,
meter.
Maybe, on certain spells?
Cooldowns work because they stop you from spamming certain things.
Yeah,
yeah, but
otherwise,
you can't
like,
spam it.
What's going to stop you from spamming heal and shield and just walk through the entire
game?
That depends on the difficulty.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, yeah.
I think maybe spells can be interrupted, so you can't just.
If you get punched mid-cast, like, bam, you're done, you know?
And also, it's a skill of you. Like, if you can cast heal quickly, if you can do all the components for it quickly, then bam, you can heal yourself mega fast, but that's as fast as a player can be. Maybe I don't think I think literally just the time it takes to cast it is as much of a limit as the game needs.
I think there should be potions, because I think finding ingredients and putting them in like a bag, but then like coming out to a big cauldron and plonking something
and
experimenting and having to like do this
alchemist as well,
like
mortar
and pestle
Could you have, in the same way that, you know, in like The Last of Us, you have the tool benches that you come up to and you upgrade things and stuff.
Yeah.
You could just have like throughout the game there are alchemy labs and cauldrons.
Maybe that could be the limit to like these high end spells, is that they all have material components and you have to pick up all these things like whirlwind.
Okay.
You need gust leaf
need a griffin feather to cast levitate or whatever. And snap, I only have 7 griffin feathers left. Is it worth me levitating up there to open up that treasure chest, or should I save that for the big ravine that's coming up, you know?
Yeah, but in terms of casting a spell, you don't need to open your bag, pull out the feather.
I like the idea that
can be so awkward.
That your robe, you pull open your robe and it's like someone selling you like a bunch of potions.
Fake watches.
So you navigate your robe and it's got all of your...
Stranger.
I was going to say, there's a lot of VR games that have like satchels strapped around your body, and it's really awkward to like grab a pistol sometimes and grab like ammo out of one thing. Maybe there is, you pull from the middle, open your cloak, yeah, and there's just like a row of,
because obviously you'd be wearing a robe and cloak. Like, that's wizard attire. That's exactly official, yeah, wizard attire.
So you open it up, what are you buying style?
Exactly.
And there's like, there's a feather, there's I don't know, toad gruel, there's
Eye of Newt, the classics.
It's all labelled as well. It's all sewn in labels.
Oh, and yeah,
it's
got, yeah,
it's,
yeah,
magic. It changes
it yourself.
Changes it yourself. So, you know, yeah. Oh, my God.
So maybe that's how you could grab the ingredients you need. So you can't just go into every mission or area with, like, 100 different things, because there's only so many you can attach.
Oh,
to,
yeah,
book.
You get to before each mission, you get to like decide your loadout. So, like, what do you want to bring? Like, how many Riven feathers do you want to bring? You have a maximum amount, yeah, of like 20 slots in your cloak. So, what items are you going to bring? Remember that this belts require this and this. So, make sure you forget, don't forget the Eye of Newt, or you're never going to be able to cast scrying or whatever, you know?
As, yeah, you get, as you get better, you might be able to have spells that cast those objects that you need. So, you might be able to go, I need a feather, and you spend like 10 minutes casting a feather,
yeah,
and then you put
the transmutation,
and you find a random thing, and then you cast a transmutation spell on it, turning it into something that you can then use,
yes,
for another spell or something.
Yeah. Oh man. So,
but
yeah,
does that limit the, like, a little bit the, like, what makes the game so cool, the idea of just being able to cast these amazing spells?
Well,
I'm not sure if items.
I feel like eventually, maybe not. I think eventually, I think you should feel like you're getting stronger, not just you player wise becoming better at casting the stuff, but like breaking your limits. You know, in the beginning, you can't do a lot,
yeah,
from a variety of things, but like, maybe 3/4 through the game, you're Doctor Strange in, like, in an Avengers Endgame. You're blasting everything, making 20,000 copies of yourself, like, just shifting everything around. And like, everything's being destroyed. You are, like, the master of all elements. You can freeze everyone, set everything on fire, like, blow everything for fly, vroom. Everything is just crazy. And you can do whatever you want towards the end. And then you can look back at the beginning where you're like, oh, magic missile. Oh, no, my wand broke. You know, like, you're,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, the idea is like a growth in power that makes you feel awesome at the end of the game, rather than being powerful the entire time.
Yeah. I think I have a game dev compromise to what we were all saying.
Hit me.
This is me putting my developer hat on.
That's why we're here. This is
oh, wait,
it's
this
lovely.
Is a game dev podcast.
Yeah.
So instead of, I still like the items idea, and I don't think items should be involved with spells. I think spells should just be their own thing. But I think we need a skill tree. But within that skill tree, you don't use experience points. You learn a recipe to craft that next skill upgrade, right? So you have to then drink a potion, and it increases. Say you've got like a fireball skill tree, and if you want to increase that attack damage by 2, you need Eye of Newt, you know, frog's anus, and like a left eye of a newt.
Of a north
brown
cow.
Eye of Newt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You need 2 Eye of Newt. So you,
the left. 2 Eye of Newt.
The left.
Yeah.
You combine them all, and you drink it, and then you drink the potion, and that unlocks that skill point, and then you can see the next thing. So you can spec down certain. So if you want to do more damage, or if you want to get a higher shield, you need to spec down, but you need to find those items to be able to spec.
Okay.
I love the idea of like that, the feeling of potions, because I think if you have finger tracking in a VR game, imagine popping the cork off a potion,
and that sounds
also
and sounds
when it says it needs
down,
a
yeah,
it needs a pinch of something, you can just pinch.
You literally
then,
pinch
yes.
it, yeah.
Oh, a little pinch. A frog leg, you have to like pull the.
Does VR actually have finger tracking?
Yeah, so the index
has
finger tracking to a degree where it's all based on if you're touching the controller or not. The Oculus Quest can do full hand tracking without any
updates. So it does exist. I just didn't know that existed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm imagining like for this to feel really cool, like it has to be a little bit more advanced than like the most basic VR. Like you would need finger tracking and stuff. So it wouldn't really be compatible with like just the first types of VR. So
from the sounds of what we've talked about now, by the time the game is done,
The
technology
when the game
caught,
is done, it'll be the
up.
Matrix, so it's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Sean Connery will almost certainly be dead.
Yeah, we need to get him.
Oh no!
Just
we'll
get him to refresh it now.
We'll get an impressionist. It's fine. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hell,
yeah
all easy. Of us did excellent, perfect
exactly.
impressionists. So I mean, how hard could it be? So.
It's great. We can just call the game Sean Connery's whatever it is.
It's like Colin McRae's Dirt Rally.
Yeah.
It's like Tom Clancy, you know. We don't have to be alive.
We just need his name.
We don't have they don't have to be alive for us to make money off them. Perfect.
I mean, so to go back to upgrades being done by collecting items, I will say I liked Plague Tale Innocence. My least favorite part of it was when you get to the end of a level and it says, oh, you could have collected one of this thing. There was four string you could have picked up in this level. There was a flower you could have picked up.
Yeah.
And then that just makes you need to replay the level to pick up everything.
I kind of finish the level. I'm like happy with the level. And then I see, oh, actually I did bad. Okay.
But see, that's where I think the transmutation stuff comes in quite handy. And in between levels, if you return to like a hub, like your which
maybe you've been given the ability to teleport into this like safety, like a Mordenkainen's magnificent mansion. You come into a thing and it's like this magical place where you're safe on a different plane or whatever. And which is why, like in the middle of a stealth mission and before you go into deeper into the castle, it's a level break and you can actually go into the mansion and chill out and do whatever.
Yeah, so it's so like could that, it be that like hideout in Vermintide, right? Like in the lobby of Vermintide, where you have like the training area. You've got all these little things you can do before you actually jump into the missions.
Same as Escape from Tarkov, the same system. Do you know, like you can build up your base and it can produce stuff over time. So you can build up like your health station, and over a couple of days, it'll produce like a health kit or something.
Yeah, but,
like,
exactly.
Could it be in that case then that you're not collecting, you don't have to worry about like during the actual world, during the actual like gameplay and the levels and stuff, going out and collecting individual items or ingredients.
No, but I think you're only going to help yourself.
Has all the ingredients you need, but you can use those ingredients to only take a certain amount of spells with you or like to.
Well, that's the thing. Like if you go into if you know you're going into a cave mission, right? Or a cave mission, quote unquote mission. Then you're like, okay, I won't take any mushrooms with me because there should be plenty in the cave. Or maybe I'm raiding a herbalist's hut, so I won't take these things because there's got to be stuff there. You're just kind of banking on the idea that these things will be there if you need them, so you don't take those items with you.
If we just made Wizard's Escape from Tarkov.
Well,
actually. And you know
Escape from Hogwarts.
I like it.
Voldemort's revenge.
Instead of scabs, it's death eaters.
I mean, items and stuff is good for... I mean, it's always good to have things to find and collect and so on, and I like it. But I'm starting to worry that we're like... Well, okay. If for the skill tree thing, I think it's solid. Like you have different ways of upgrading your spells, and they require different items. Yep. Yeah, I think more so that than actually requiring items to cast spells. Absolutely. So it would be more of a thing you just gather. So maybe not the cloakwood things. That sounds so cool, though. But
that is 100% what VR should be about. Feeling cool that you're in the game.
That can be your in-game inventory. So you still have the cloakwood things.
Oh, yeah.
I want this.
The movement of opening your cloak to see your inventory, yeah.
I need all this stuff, but I really need that. So I need to get rid of something to then... put this in. I think that's still a good...
Okay, yeah.
Just think of the customization. I've got a tartan cloak. I've got a corduroy cloak. Oh, I've got my leather cloak.
There's the microtransactions.
My leather cloak.
There's the money,
yeah. Right, nice, okay.
Yeah.
And all right, it buys you is the left side of a cloak.
Yeah, you can't open. You upgrade to get the right-hand side as well.
Oh, no, actually,
properly flash people with the double open.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a trench
coat. And the hideout definitely has a mirror as well. You need to be able to, absolutely. Yeah, because that's viral marketing right there, just watching people's wizards dancing in dumb ways.
Absolutely, like the L.A. Noir thing that everyone's seen.
It's a new L.A. Noir video.
Yeah.
Right, so in terms of the actual game... Like I think we have a pretty well rounded out game. Like, but what about? I mean, story wise, right? You're starting off as this little apprentice.
Yeah.
You become more and more powerful. How is this going to end? What's the end goal?
Well, I mean, the easiest way is like vengeance, right? Like, you kill the giant demon monster or person who killed your enemy, and you know, you save the world. I mean, that's the easy stuff, right? Maybe it's not even saving the world. Maybe it's literally just like vengeance to kill someone. Maybe it's just. And then it turns out your master was a bad guy all along? Maybe not.
I thought it might be nice if there was a detective element to the game as well. So you find
your... You have to figure out who he is.
Yeah, you need to figure out how
dude
the
comes in
happened.
And he's like cloaked and has like, you know, obfuscation spells so you can see who he is. And after that, like, okay, like, all I know is X, Y, Z, and P, and N, you know? So these are my five clues I have to figure out. And then you go through and the entire time, well, there was a vague smell of sulfur in the air. What could sulfur possibly do? And you go for a mission, find that, and then he's like, turns out, ancient
anciently long ago, there was a race of beings that smelled like sulfur or whatever. And then you go, all the time. And that's the quest you go to figure that out. And then it's like, all right, where would these people come from?
I'm not dirty. It's just my race. I smell like shit.
I promise. Right. I'm born this way. Don't hate. Don't hate.
Stop judging.
Medical.
Me. Yeah. I can't fix it.
Yeah. Maybe the type of footprint and so on, and then you investigate certain things like that, and maybe a little bit of more detective, because you can bring that in as well, because you could use magic in your detectiving ability, like you find like a scene of a crime or something, maybe you cast a spell that brings back like Return of Oberdin style, like the last thing one of them saw before they died,
like
a visualizer from TTT, you see like the last moment where they shot, you know, or stuff like that.
So it's kind of so. Okay, so we've got a magic building, real time spell casting, Dishonored.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Dishonored, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Where you're going through all of the ranks of people to get true revenge
to get to who killed your sorcerer. The end, yeah.
But also, so it's still kind of stealth?
It's stealth in the regards that, like, you won't be able to stand up in a massive, at least for the vast majority of the game, you won't be able to stand up in a fight against anyone. So you have to kind of be quiet and stealthy and use spells in an intelligent way. Because if you walk in and then all the guards are like, hey, who's this little fella? They're just going to walk over there. Maybe you can magic yourself two of them, but then the remaining three just, like, grab you and hold your hands behind your back and you're arrested and you're dead.
I guess that just depends on. You just have lots of different elements, different quests. So it would be like, this is the stealth quest, or you've got to be quiet, or this one, you've got to go and kill this giant arachnid in order to get there.
Yeah.
Like spider silk
something. You also get some really shit quests as well. Like, oh, my warehouse is full of rats. Get rid of them.
It wouldn't be an RPG
really
if you didn't have
rats.
A rat killing quest, honestly. Like, that has to be part of RPGs.
Exactly.
And then,
there's
like,
crabs in there as well for some reason.
I really could use some boar stew. Out in the forest, there's 20 boars. If you're lucky, two of them will have a liver.
And maybe that's
and
how we...
25 bear pelt.
That's how we introduce the sort of the angelic path and the demon path, is that you could just burn
if
the warehouse
down. If you say yes or no.
Exactly. It. Yeah, it's fine. You just set the fire
I forgot
spell.
About. Yeah, I forgot about the angelic and demon paths.
Well,
yeah,
like,
I love that a while.
I rescued
every cat down from a tree.
You could,
so you just
and the type of spell. The type of spells you cast, the path you take would change your visual appearance as well, right? Sort of like Knights of the Old Republic and so on, when you become like either cracked and red-eyed and stuff if you do the dark side and so on.
You look at your hands and they're all gnarly or like...
Yeah, exactly. Like you go into your mirror thing and say, oh shit, I'm growing horns, you know, that sort of thing. And you can see your mirror doing different things. And like different, like a lot of the light side angelic spells or whatever is stuff like healing, shielding, teleportation, so more indirect damage, although you'd have still fireballs and stuff, but the dark side stuff, that's like forced show. Okay, this is just becoming Star Wars now, but anyway,
early on, Rhythian, you said this might be a little bit feature creepy, like 2 minutes in, and then we said don't worry,
hang on, guys,
don't
we're going
worry,
too far with this.
I'm just embracing it now. You've encouraged me to really embrace
good.
The
welcome.
Feature creep.
You have come join
the ranks. Join us,
yeah. Please
good
do it.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good time to maybe go around and gauge people's feelings about this.
Yeah.
I think I know, Tom, how you're feeling about this.
Well, I mean, I'm into it. I'm into the game. However, I'm not a huge fan of VR, I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
It gives me terrible headaches, not as a motion sickness thing, but as a... It just kills me. I don't know why. So maybe I need to play more of it. So VR, I'd actually play this game if it wasn't VR. Mm. I think it sounds cool.
Would it
cool.
be yeah. want to play it, couldn't play
I'm
it.
Just wondering how it would be done without VR. Like, maybe it would have finger tracking, but you wouldn't have to look through the visor, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you can get finger tracking for that, but then we're making a game for a very, very
extremely niche
product,
audience.
Right?
And Sean Connery isn't cheap, so I mean, we're going to have to make a lot
we're
of money.
We're spending most of our money on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I really like the idea. I think it's super cool. I would play it if VR didn't like kill me every single time.
Do you think, on a quick side note then, do you think that's something that VR will eventually fix? Will they figure out a way to make people not be nauseous, figure out a way to not give people headaches? Because a lot of people have serious issues with VR in general.
It's a combination of a lot of different... So I started out in VR, and it's a combination of a lot of factors of like field of view, frame rate, how clear the screens are, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Anytime I use it, I think less so with the Oculus Quest, actually, but like I get it where it feels like my eyes are burning. There is a screen right in front of my face, and I can just feel the heat coming off of that.
Okay.
And it just feels like it's probably just
me. That sounds like a you problem.
It's definitely a me problem. And that's why I'm saying, I would love to play it. However, don't think I can.
I feel like a lot of people would be willing to put up with some of the negative side effects if it just wasn't so cost prohibitive. If it's just, you're not going to spend £1,000 on something that's going to really make you feel sick. But
well, it's one of those things where we're sort of hoping that in the 10 years it'll take to make this game, VR will be like way cheaper and they've fixed all the bugs and so on. But I don't know. It's maybe it's not the most realistic thing. I personally think that VR is on the cusp of being great. I think Alex was the first real benchmark in showing like, okay. Because there's been really cool games otherwise, but almost all of them have been like tech demos. Like Blade and Sorcery and so on. There's some cool games, a lot of cool VR games in general. Super Hot VR on its own is just really fun to play, you know, but all of them are still very tech demo-y. Half-Life Alyx to me is like the first one that is like, and even that's pretty simplistic in what exactly you do. If you do play Half-Life Alyx in non-VR, I think it'd suck. It would actually be really boring compared to most games. I think it's just like a good shooter, limited.
Yeah, it's a Half-Life game. It just feels kind of like playing Half-Life 2 again,
more or less,
but mechanics work so well. Okay, look, we're gonna have to wrap this up. So going around to James, how are you feeling about it?
Really good about it. I mean, I've only had limited experience with VR, but I've used the Index recently with the finger jobby, and I'm like, I'm so up for this game. I want it.
Yeah.
The
finger jobby.
What about Devin? Would you make this? Would you commit the time, the 5 years, the 10 years that it takes to develop this game?
Every year's work. Yes.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
That's how easily science works. 10 years. Yes.
Chris.
Hello.
Chris, how about you?
I would play it because I enjoy playing VR games even still. Like I go on my Quest every other day, play some Beat Saber. I don't have a lot of room, which is another thing you need for VR, which is also a real setback.
You'd need a big room.
I wouldn't make it because I've done VR development before and I really don't hate it. It's just every step is then 3 times as hard, and you always have to wear a headset to test stuff most of the time.
So that's why
I kind of tried to, no offense or anything, but I tried to avoid VR like pitches because it tends to be that every VR game I've played has always been like you said, a tech demo, never like a full game. There must be a reason. Maybe it's just VR development. It's just the worst.
I mean,
I think it's just not there yet.
Personally,
I
just personally believe VR isn't quite ready yet. And I think Half-Life Alyx is like the very first Donkey Kong of VR. You know, it's the one that starts showing, okay, we can actually do something. All pitching and fun stuff aside, realistically, I don't think we're going to have like awesome, fantastic VR experiences for like five, 10 years. Like I think like we need, it's still so very early, even though it feels like it's been around forever. Like we're just so early into it, you know?
But like early VR games felt like, oh, it's a VR game. Why am I not just playing this on
PC?
When
I'm playing a normal game, yeah.
But in this one, you've got voice control, which, yeah, you can do in games now on PC. Mm. You've also got finger tracking, which is hard to do. You've got the virtual reality element. You've got, you're actually using
the idea,
all of the mechanics.
I don't feel like this game would work if it wasn't VR. Like, otherwise, I would try to pitch something that wasn't. Because it just wouldn't be the same. It would just be a bog-standard RPG adventure game if you just ran around, cast spells, and so on.
You need
it's
those
the VR
feelings.
That
you
makes
need that
it unique,
like,
you know?
Opening the cloak. Popping the potion off the. Okay, so what we're saying is all of us would play, but
absolutely
we need to take this. We need to take this to Gaben.
Yeah, Gaben.
Yeah,
we need some really rich guy with a lot of money. That kind of that's what rich
this
is.
This entire episode has been an open letter to Gabe Newell.
Gaben, please. Half-Life Alyx was
please,
step one.
Everyone,
this will be step seven. Come to step seven.
So once again, we've made the game of 2030. Yeah. Fuck's sake.
Brilliant. Okay. I love it. Okay, so thank you so much, Rhythian, for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This was so fun. It was really entertaining.
Brilliant, I love it. Well, hopefully we can have you back again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll think about something else. Something wonderful. Maybe less 2030. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. 2077. Well,
20 now.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, as always, thank you. Chris and James, thank you very much. I'm sure we'll see you all soon. And see you later. Bye.
Bye. Expelliarmus.
Bye-bye.